our opportunity again to get together and spend some time with each other, but mainly setting our hearts and our minds, our focus on the Lord this morning. Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity. Lord, we want this opportunity to have effect in our lives. Mm-hmm. Lord, we know that you are indwelling in us and that you are working in our lives. But Lord, we pray that there would be some significant change, Lord, that we would experience today because of spending time with you and time with each other. Lord, we pray that your presence, Lord, that's inside of us would come alive in here this morning. Lord, that we would experience your touch, Lord, in a new and significant way. We thank you, Father, for your love. We thank you, Lord, for your love that was demonstrated in your Son, that he took our place, Lord, and that because of that, Lord, we have relationship. We have fellowship with
yes,
you.
Lord.
I pray today, Lord, that we could enjoy that fellowship in a deep way. Just thank
yes,
you.
Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us,
is clean and my shame is undone. Your presence,
Gay, when we got done practicing this morning, that when I sing that song now, for years I sang that song, Holy Spirit, You Are Welcome Here, and I always thought of the surroundings that we're at, the environment that we were at, you know, whether it be a church or whether it be some kind of gathering, and oops, I thought you were grabbing that. You know, when you see somebody, it looks like you're going, what?
You already have it.
Oh, yeah. And you anticipate, the Lord showing up in his amazing ways that he can do it. And so your idea sometimes of the Holy Spirit becomes an outward experience. Thus, you need the next place to go to experience the fullness of God, whether it be church or whether it be we used to have encounters, whether it be the Bible study you might go to. And so you would wait to get into an atmosphere you could get that fullness again. And when I sing that song now, Holy Spirit, You're Welcome Here, I'm thinking of me. So it's an invitation for the Holy Spirit that is in me to be fully present, and that I'm aware of his presence. And that's a different way of thinking. And it kind of goes along with what we're going to share today. So mm-hmm. Who would have thunk that, right? I mean, I didn't try to do that.
The Lord thunk it.
I did pick the song, and I didn't know what we were doing, but it was like seemed like oh, that was a great song to do. We did a lot of from the old archives, didn't we? There's this song list that we use only has so many that we know. Some we listen to, I don't know that. And so we kind of revolve, and mm-hmm. There are some newer ones on evolve. There, but today you've got the archive chest. We actually do give thanks, if you can believe it. Yeah, it's like... Nettie's like, oh my goodness, give thanks? That's like when Paul was alive. That song, right? No, I'm just kidding. Not Paul McCartney, Paul the Apostle. I'm getting this. What's that? Yeah. So, again, we would, and Jesse's got it up there. He's so good. Water into wine. We might get to that. I doubt it. Again.
Isn't God great?
You know, Jesse's like, oh boy, now I got to go look up scriptures. I didn't even know he was looking up scriptures last week. So
he was awesome.
He's doing a great job doing that. He told me about that later. So, yesterday, I had a scripture on my heart and I had read it. And sometimes you read a scripture, you just think it's for you, or you hear something like on the radio or something, you know, on an audio or a TV, and it kind of strikes something. And they weren't talking about this particular verse, but it came up in my heart. And so Gay this morning then said, why don't you go and say what you told me about something about, is there something about deposit?
Oh, I was asking him because I remember that either through a translation of another word that there's... In the New Testament, it talks a lot about the deposit of Holy Spirit or whatever is in us. And I said, where's the scripture? And he says, well, it doesn't really say deposit, but it means deposit. I'm like, I don't care. Just give it to me. So he looked it up for me and sent it to me. And I was over there really just, it was like I was eating it. Like I could not get enough of it. Anyway.
So I'll go ahead and share my verse.
Okay.
And then she will share her verse, and then we'll see where we go. We might get into water, into wine. Who knows? But this is in 2 Corinthians 11, starting at verse 1 for Jesse. Oh, that you would bear with me a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me. And so Paul's communicating to the Corinthians here, and he's saying, hey, let me just kind of interact with you a little bit here, even though it might sound like I'm crazy. And he says, for I'm jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to the one husband. I have betrothed you to one husband. Sorry, not the one I've created. I had the one in there, but it seems like it should be there. The one husband. To one husband, that I may present you, as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And then it says, for if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. Okay, so let me read that from another translation, that part. See if New Living Translation might read it just a little bit different. I hope you will put up, this is verse 1, I hope you'll put up with a little more of my foolishness. Please bear with me, for I am jealous for you with the jealousy of God himself. I promised you as a pure bride to one husband, Christ. But I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupted, just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent. You happily put up with whatever anyone tells you, even if they preach a different Jesus than the one we preach, or a different kind of spirit than the one you received, or a different kind of gospel than the one you believed. Mm-hmm. So when she said this to me this morning, you know, asked that question, it reminded me, okay, this is kind of going along with some of the thoughts that I've been having going through my heart. And I guess what I want to communicate is that the gospel is really simple.
And we make it complicated. We make it so that, you know, you have to jump through enough hoops sometimes and, you know, go under enough, you know, barbed wire, what do you call those? Obstacles, you know, and, you know, we make it sometimes much more of a difficult journey than what it's supposed to be. What?
Ninja warrior.
That would be like swinging on giant pendulums and grabbing hold of
that's
the next
one extreme
obstacle.
But the other extreme is a person that just walks straight ahead and they don't have any vision for the peripheral. They just look straight ahead because they don't want to get in trouble, and I'm going to do it like this, and this is how it's going to be. Yahoo, I get my crown, I go to heaven. What fun is there in that? Honestly.
You're saying not enjoying the journey?
Yeah, no.
You're just like...
doing the straight and narrow.
Yeah, but...
absolutely straight and narrow.
Not realizing that all along the straight and narrow,
right.
Oh, wow, someone else
yes,
is
exactly.
here. Yeah, that's a good point as well. So... if you look at the context, though, it's he's saying, I don't want to see you be deceived like Eve was. So how was Eve deceived? Well, if you go back into Genesis 3, you can read that the serpent comes to her. And, you know, most people say, well, she ate the fruit. You know, she bought into it. But why did she eat the fruit? What was it that she was thinking? Well, it says that she saw the fruit, that it was, you know, nice to look at. It looked like it would be good of taste, and that it would probably make her wise. But why did she even get that far? I mean, how did she get to the place where she was holding it and observing it and wondering, maybe I should take a bite of this? And it's where the enemy got his root in, was questioning who she was. It was her identity. It was that she was lacking something.
When she wasn't.
That she didn't realize that she had the goods. She didn't realize that she had been created in God's image and that he wasn't holding anything back. She does great. And he wasn't holding anything back. He gave her himself.
Right.
She was made in his image. But the enemy said, oh, well, you know, that's why he said not to eat that fruit, because that's when you're really going to be like God. That's when you're, that's, you know, God's been holding out on you, and that's when you're going to really be like him. And so, in a way, we can make it so that whatever things we think we need to do to get closer to God or to have God closer to us ends up becoming the fruit that we eat. Oh, wait a minute, you're saying that even the good things that we do, well, if they're striving to achieve something that we already have and they take us off of the whole simplicity of relationship with God, yes. That's pretty weird to think, isn't it?
You're looking at me.
Yeah, like you've got something. You don't?
I don't know if it goes along with what you're saying, but it might.
Well, go for it.
You know those mirrors at the fair or wherever where you can look through it and it either makes your body look like it's this way or really big or really small or whatever? Huh? Yeah, that's
fun
not
house
so fun.
Mirrors.
Yeah, fun house mirrors. I've never done it, but I've seen someone go in there and do it. But anyway, it reminds me of that one picture that the Lord gave you all those years ago about the body of Christ, us. And how we're looking in the mirror and we see this fat person. When in essence, this person has got skin just hanging on bones. We think that we have everything we need in God. We think that we're good. Next stop, heaven. But in essence, we are starving on the vine. Because, I'm great. I'm good. I got what I need.
And when you say I'm great, I'm good, I've got what I need, what do you think? Are you saying I go to church, I read my Bible?
No, it's the checklist.
The checklist. Instead of I have him in me.
Right.
And he is the fullness.
Yes. And that's the whole point is, and I don't know where this thought is going, but I'm going to put it out there. If a guy walked in the back door and he was a terrorist or whatever, and he was brandishing a gun, or a sword or whatever, would God be more in me than he is in him?
We had this discussion and you're bringing it up. Yeah. No, he wouldn't.
He does. No, I don't have more of God than he
does. But that goes against everything that we've been taught.
Everything. And the thing that I'm trying to tell you guys is this. I have been going through a really bad, bad season in my life. And my friend sent me something this morning talking about seasons. And I don't want this because I want you guys to pacify me or anything, but I have sinned greatly because I've allowed the grief of my parents dying and everything else to overshadow God in me. I let that happen. But I was in pain. I mean, you know, you can't in 1 year's time lose two parents and then not have it affect you some way. But God, the stuff that he's deposited in me, that's the word, the stuff he's put in me, I need to access it. I need to go to the bank, put in a withdrawal slip, and pull out some of that deposit in order to use it. How many of us just leave it there, never go there, and just that straight and narrow till you get to heaven? You know, next stop, cha-ching. No, that's not what this life is about. It's not what our Christian walk is about at all. And I'm maybe stepping on somebody's thought pattern or whatever, but God's love of us, his relationship with us, is so personal, so simple, so loving, so simple that we make it about everything else. We make it about all the stuff that we do or how many times we go to church or if we don't, excuse me, flip somebody off because they just, you know, cut us off in the, I mean, you guys, we have it all right here. We have everything that we need right here. We just need access.
Just as Eve did.
Yes, she did.
I mean, and Paul said, I don't want you to be deceived like Eve and miss the whole message of the simplicity of the gospel. And what is the gospel? Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Yeah.
Christ in you, Christ through you, Christ, you know, and then us in Christ. So this whole idea of being separated from God is like, the more I'm reading the word, I'm not seeing it in the word. Yes, I was alienated in my own mind, in my own heart. I did not have any idea about God, even though God was the very one that gave me life.
Mm-hmm.
How can you not have God if he's the one that's keeping you alive? You know, Paul communicated to the Athens wise guys, I'll call them. And there was like, you know, 200 to 300 different idols they had all around the city. And he goes and he talks to him, Acts 16. He goes and talks to him and says, listen, I can perceive that you guys are pretty religious. You guys are definitely into trying to, you know, worship God. And I want to talk to you about one of the towers that you had, or one of the monuments that you had that said to an unknown God. Now I want to talk to you about that unknown God. He's the one, and he told this to a bunch of, we would call them heathens. You know, they were idolaters. They had 300 gods. And he says, he's the one that in him you live, in him you move, and in him you have your very being. Your whole existence is wrapped up in him, and that's who you need to worship. And then he says, and his name is Jesus. He's the creator of all.
Yes.
He's the one who made it all. And he's already in you. You just need to start worshiping him and following him. See, I thought that at 19 years old, that what happened was, is that I, and this is going to again step on toes, that I came to Christ, or Christ came to me. But what happened is light shined in my darkness. That's what the scripture says. Light shines in your darkness. And I became aware of God's presence in me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I didn't know that at the time. I just said, I'm going to start following Jesus. But over the years, As I've gone through different circumstances, situations, even as I look back in my early days as a kid, I can see his hand all through my life.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't serving him,
mm-hmm.
but he was serving me. See, that's the God that is waiting to be introduced to people. Not the God that you tell them, listen, he's so mad at you, he's so frustrated with you, he's tired of everything you've done, and if you don't change, he's going to totally judge you. Well, there's judgment in not receiving him. I agree. But God's saying, I love you. I mean, how much more can you demonstrate love than to literally take all the sins of the world on yeah. you and you hang yourself by allowing, because he hung himself on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he let men do it, but he did it himself.
Gave it.
Mm-hmm. He gave them the power. Like you said, at any time, he could have called legions of angels to get him out of it. He literally just laid there and said, whatever you do to me, because this is for mankind. Not just for you, for the one who was nailing him, it was for that one.
Mm-hmm.
For the one that pierced his side, it was for that one. For the one who scourged him to where he was lacerated, they was just meat hanging.
Mm.
It was for him, not just for us today.
So I have a question.
Okay.
Is the sinner's prayer in Scripture? The sinner's prayer. They come up. Have you ever said Jesus is your Savior? No. Let me lead you in the sinner's prayer. Blah. Here we go. Is that in Scripture?
Well,
the sinner's prayer.
The sinner's prayer is not in Scripture, but the principle of the sinner's prayer is in Scripture.
Exactly.
And the principle is acknowledging your need for a Savior. But again, I didn't think that when I was praying. Now, it's interesting because, you know, I didn't go in the sinner's prayer. Nobody led me in the sinner's prayer.
That's what I'm trying to get.
Somebody said, hey, this is the way to life. And I said, okay, well, I'm going to start following it. It wasn't until 2 years later that someone got me and pulled me aside. You need to say the sinner's prayer. I said, okay. And I said it.
You any more saved than you already were.
No.
No.
Okay, go ahead and use your scripture, but I want to throw a monkey wrench in here. And why am I doing this? We're not doing this to mess you up. We're doing this to liberate you.
Yeah.
Because see, when you think that you're separated from God before, it's easy to get separated again in your mind later on. Because mm-hmm. you're thinking, okay, now I've done something, I'm separated again. I've done something, I've sinned, he's no longer with me, I've been rejected, or whatever, and he never leaves you or forsakes you. He told that to everybody. The Pharisees, the Sadducees.
Disciples,
everybody. See, we as Christians have built an exclusive club. And if you're in the church, you're in. If you're out of the church, you're out. There could be nothing further from the gospel. The good news is that Jesus is the Savior of all mankind. Yes, you have to have an experience with him. Yes, you need to yield your will and surrender your heart. Absolutely. But he is their Savior. Not if they believe us, is he their Savior.
He just is.
Will they come to that light? Well, that's up to the work of God in them, and that's up to the surrendering of their heart. But if you think about it, Paul's trying to tell them, don't get away from the simplicity of the gospel. And what was happening in those churches, Judaizers were coming behind them and saying, well, you need to keep the law. Yeah, you've received Christ. That's good. But now you need to follow these rules.
These 600 something rules.
Right. And, you know, we don't do that per se, but we say, well, you know, you need to do this, you know, and that may be tithe. You know, or that may be go to church every Sunday. I used to hear that. You need to go to church every Sunday. Well, that was the scripture. Don't forsake the assembling together. But that's not my Christianity. That's not my relationship with God. See, I just want to go back to the core of who we are as God's people. The ones that have come from him, the ones that exist in him. And, you know, I think if we can get this right in our heart, we're going to be able to share the gospel with people so much easier.
Mm-hmm.
And whether they go to church or not, they can start having an experience with God. Because that's what it's all about, right? I mean, who cares if Caleb ever goes back to a church? If he starts having a real experience with God, wouldn't that do your mom's heart good? And yet, the message that he grew up with tells him that he's outside of God right now. When, no, God's in him, working in him. He needs to hear that message. There's so many children of God. I mean,
you
dear
talk
ones.
About Melissa, because...
Oh, you go ahead, because
well,
you...
okay, so our daughter and her husband live back in Cleveland, and they have the four kids, and she's going to have another one. And I'm not supposed to say that, but anyway.
That's online.
I hope nobody listens. No.
And can you edit that?
They did the 3D. They now do a 3D ultrasound where you can actually see the baby's eyelids and the, you know, fingers and really up close stuff. The very first picture that she sent it to me and she sent it to him.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know he got it, but I knew that I got it. And when I'm looking at it, I'm like, I'm really looking at it. And I'm like, that looks like hands are holding her. And I will show every one of you what I mean after church. If you want to see it, come up. But it honestly looks like hands are holding the baby. And so much so, I'm not responding to Melissa because I'm driving. He is, and he says, how are hands holding the baby?
I'm saying, sis, whose hands are those?
And she's like, what? And he said, those are hands holding that little baby. I'm not kidding you guys. I am not kidding you. God and Melissa is coming alive. God and Melissa, and to the point her husband, he's wooing them, but it's God in them.
Mm-hmm.
It's God already in them. And did you know you can say no? That's one of the first words little babies learn. No. No, 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 as they do what they want. But you want to know what? If you still say no, God's still going to be in there.
Mm-hmm.
But your journey is going to get harder and harder to travel and traverse. There it is. It was out there somewhere. But anyway, it's going to be harder to traverse until you yield yourself to what His plan is for your life. Does that make sense? Are you able to get it up there?
I'm working on it.
That'll be so cool. Anyway, so before we go on to the next scripture, I want to know that everybody understands so far what we're talking about.
Yeah, let's talk.
Does everybody understand, or is there questions that you have that need clarification? Because it's not going to help if you receive this in and there's questions about it for there to be more put on top and then that just goes by the side. So are there any questions?
No, but I do have something to say. I went last week to a special service that one attends employees and therapists. And they are of a different religion.
Okay.
And you know, and these people are doing really happy, you know. But the whole time I'm like, because
trying to fall asleep. Everybody.
But the pressure, the peer pressure to follow the rules, the peer pressure to do nothing outside of their rules, nothing outside their doctrine was just so strong. You know, and the people that I was there with, I love this guy that my invited us to. I love him and his family, all of them. Joyous and so happy, but it was like in my heart, I was like, but how can you be believing what you believe, knowing that there's a chance you might not be one of them?
Well, I think God is giving you the opportunity to pray for that family. Do you know what I mean? I mean, like, she didn't just by happenstance go to that church, she didn't just by happenstance listen to that word. Yeah, so God had a plan for her to be there. And it may only be that he had you there to your heart to connect with that family for you to pray for that family. You never know.
You never know.
Yeah.
And that is the
mantle. Yeah. Right.
But it was just interesting to see that. And then y'all have to tune us this week. And so I'm just like,
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this before. He was the one that stepped out of his glorious state to come and rescue humanity, to take residence in us. Mm-hmm. So that we could be in him as well. She's happy, huh?
Does anybody else have a statement or comment or anything to make? Now, honestly, you guys, this is what we're about. We want to know that we are all on the same page. Does anybody have anything they need to say? Rob? Do you?
Well, there's the last paragraph of this little bill here. It says, and his offer to you is the same. It's your choice. I'm talking about Jesus' offer to you.
Right.
You can stay stuck in the old routines and keep hoping that someday you will win the lottery. Or you can unstick yourself and let Jesus make something of your life. You can follow Jesus and surprisingly find that there is something more exhilarating than living life your way in the confines of your instincts.
The confines of your what?
Instincts.
What verse is that?
It's just a
commentary.
Oh, a side note. Yeah. Oh, that's a good one. I mean, basically.
A new identity. Mm-hmm. But is it the scripture that he brought up?
It was right. Yeah, it's in the same.
Yeah. Let's just do a little test here. How many at times think, or thought when they before the new Christ, they were fully separated from God, that they were totally alienated from God. God wasn't even working in their life.
Yeah.
So right
before
there,
before we came to Christ,
and seeing that right there, that created a dynamic that followed us in our Christian life. Because if we were separated from him, then obviously we're going to be separated now. But how many... Jesse?
Well, I just wanted to say this right here. This is part of the message this is Paul speaking to the Greeks.
Oh, in Acts 17. It's 17.
17:26.
Right.
Go ahead and read that.
And he... Oh. Or
go ahead,
sis.
Go ahead.
And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell in all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointment times and dwellings, or and boundaries. Sorry, can you go back? And pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings.
In other words, where they live.
Right. So that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him
and find him
though he is not far from each one of us.
There we go. Though
Acts
he
17.
Is not far from each one of us. We think we have to grope and look for God. He's not. What did Jesus say, or what did Moses say? God's not far from you, he's as close to your words in your mouth. It's back in Deuteronomy.
Yeah.
The thing is that we have made it so that God is out there and we are here. And so our Christian life then is he's still out there and we're trying to communicate him during this, you know, this distance.
Right.
I even said, well, the Holy Spirit's our conduit. Thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit, you know, to connect me to him.
I got something to hang on to.
Right. But no, he's in me. That's why, Holy Spirit, fill this place with your glory, which is your presence, which is my acknowledgement that you're here. I mean, can you imagine the first 19 years of my life? It's like, oh boy, I can't wait till he realizes I'm here. I can't wait till he wakes up and realizes I've been in him and living in him the whole time, and that he's been living in me. So go ahead. So there's more, right?
Oh, yeah.
Keep going.
For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring.
So I have a question. Was he speaking to Christians?
He was speaking to total unbelievers.
Total unbelievers. He was telling total unbelievers, you live and move and have your being in him.
Right. Right. Yeah. They weren't separated from God. They just didn't know him. See, that's why Jesus says a lot about you have to know me. It's about knowing him. So when my light shined in my darkness, which was Christ, I was able to start knowing him. That's why I said for 19 years of my life, I didn't know him.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was some kind of myth mythological story. Yet he was living in me the whole time. So listen to this. This is another scripture. We're really challenging the sacred cows here today, but it's all good. And the thing is that, you know, I don't have it 100%, but all I'm trying to do is get us to realize we can have such an amazing relationship with God that he loves us. He loved us when we were not even knowing him, and he's not going to ever stop loving us, and he wants to have just a real relationship with us. Okay, let me find this here. What am I going to... I lost my train of thought. Go ahead and talk for a second, hon, if you can.
Fill in the blanks.
Go ahead. You want to get on the mic? Because, you know, nobody.
You know, like, I think about encounters and stuff, and it's like, we always said, you know, if somebody moved, it was you.
Right.
God does not move.
Does not move. Never leaves us or forsakes us.
If God is for us, who can be against us? Mm-hmm. It's just, it's an absolute. He's here.
Mm-hmm. But,
yeah.
There's a story about a husband and wife, and she's really getting upset with him because she feels like they've gone apart from each other. And she's telling him while they're driving down the road in the truck. And quit telling the punchline. And she says, "We don't even sit together anymore." And he said, "Well, I haven't moved because he's against the door. You moved." And a lot of times we do. And he was saying, okay, get this in your mind. You're the one that traveled your little self over there, and you need to travel right on back if you want to sit together.
So, Jesse, since you're putting up scriptures, put up 1 Timothy 4:9, then we'll go to 10. You got it? So this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. That could have been the previous saying, but it could also mean what he's about to say. Verse 10, "For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach." In other words, over this particular issue, we basically are going through it. "Because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men." Does it say who's the Savior of Christians?
No.
Who's the Savior of believers?
No.
Who's the Savior of all men? Then he goes on to say, especially of those who believe. Because we believe and we can receive all the goodness of our salvation. But he's the Savior of all mankind. So what about Hitler? Let's just get down to the brass tack. What about Hitler? Well, Hitler killed 6 million Jews. There's no way he could be saved. Really? So he wasn't in all. See, when you start parsing things, you get dangerous. So could Hitler have received Christ? Absolutely. Makes no sense, does it?
Whoever.
Right. But we have these categories of who's qualified or who can get saved, or like you said, a jihadist comes in here and kills all of us. Jesus still was his Savior. And he's ready to embrace him with his love, even though he killed all of us. See, these are the kind of things that we have to really come with grips in this day that we're coming into, because things are getting really weird out in the world. I mean, genders are going away. People are doing all kinds of things just to please themselves. And so the church could really start pointing at people and saying, you know what? God's going to have nothing to do with you because of our mold of what someone should be that's qualified to become a Christian. Oh, that does that all the time? That says they're going to hell and... But who are we to judge?
I know, but they're just so awful about... Their message is awful.
Yeah.
I believe that the people believe sincerely, but they're sincerely wrong. You know, but it's happened.
So why are we talking about this? It's so that we can know, let's get back to it, that we can know that we serve a God who's always loved us.
Yeah.
He didn't love us just because we gave our hearts to him.
Right.
He didn't become our Savior just because we said yes. He was our Savior. We agreed with his salvation in our lives is what we did. Mm-hmm. When that light shone in my darkness, I was able to see. Up to that point, I could not see. Mm-hmm. I was groping. And, you know, even though I wasn't like going to church, and I was still wanting to find God in my own way. So do you want to go through the verses that you had in mind?
Okay.
This is not where I planned on going here today, guys. So this was like...
God did it. It's God's fault. Okay. This is in Ephesians 1. Verse 11, 12, we'll see how far we go. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Now, why did I read that scripture? The reason I read that scripture is because, because the Lord spoke to me this morning about a deposit. He spoke to me about what's in us, and you know, and examples of deposits, like you can have hard water deposits on your in your pipes and it gets to the point where nothing can flow through. You can have a deposit of money in your checking account that you don't know where it came from. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
That's nice.
Yeah. Or there can be a deposit that someone places in you. For instance, I'll just use this for instance. With Lorena, I deposited part of me who was God into Lorena, and Lorena has just grown up, and she's way up. Like I'm not doing levels. I'm just saying she's that much further ahead because I deposited into her. I deposited into our women. You see what I'm saying? So this deposit word, it means, wait a minute, no. Do you have that up there, Jesse? Could you put that, could you go down to, go up 1 to 13. In him you also trusted after you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed. Now, that word sealed means stamped upon. That means that you got, you know, boom, you got it. I'm sorry, I always
No, you're good.
But then when I looked up, I realized that I didn't have the full definition of what it really meant. So then I went further, and this is what it says. It's P-H-R-A-S-S-E something. I don't know what that little thing is, but it's a strengthening form of the base. And so what it's saying is the outline of the biblical usage is to put to silence. So the seal that God's placed on us, the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, has put any accusations, any, you have to do this, you have to do that, any kind of stipulations at all, has put to silence. Like, they, you know, the enemy wants you to believe that you're going to church now, you think you're a little Christian, what about this, what about that, you know what I mean? But it says to silence those things. And how many of us entertain those things in our minds? Well, he's right. Man, I haven't gone to church in forever. Like, oh, man, he's right. You know, I did this or I did that.
Believing his lies.
Believing his lies. But the seal that's been placed on you has put to silence those things that the enemy is trying, or anybody else is trying, to get you to go one way or another. Okay, so then, let me get to this one. Sorry. It is...
the word deposit.
The deposit. Mm-hmm. Okay, and so this deposit word... Can you go to 14, please, Jesse? Thank you. Who is the guarantee? That word guarantee also means deposit. Who is the deposit of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory? So that word guarantee also means deposit. That also means that what he's placed in you. And what I love about this is that it's so amazing. Money which is in purchases is given as a pledge or a down payment that the full amount will subsequently be paid. That the full amount will be paid. Now, how many of you guys know if you don't pay your mortgage, you're going to go through foreclosure? Bank's going to take back your house, and you're going to be out on the street. Right here it says, the deposit is given as a pledge or a down payment that the full amount. I think there are times in our lives, and bear with me, that in this season of life, I only needed God this much. And in this season of life, I only needed God that much. But in this season of life, I needed God so big, where was he? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And our walk is determined on how much God we access. Does that make any sense to anybody? It's how much we access what he's in there. He's in there. Whether we recognize it or not, he's in there. And I love it because it says the full amount will subsequently be paid. There's no question. It's going to be paid. It's not like the bank questioning you if you're going to pay your mortgage. There's no question in God. It's going to be paid. Don't worry about it. It's all good.
Yeah, because it says right here.
Put a fork in it. It's done. I learned that this week.
Reading that verse again, it says, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession?
Yeah.
That would be till the full payment.
Right.
The full redemption. And how much can be redeemed here? I believe it's up to us.
It is.
I believe it's up to our surrender. I believe that the God that lives in us, as he is able to transform us more like Jesus, that is that possession of us being purchased. I mean, that's that part of us that is being changed to where it's him. And I would love if, I say this, because you never know what it's going to take. A lot of times it takes huge trials to manifest the character of God. For whatever reason. Doesn't seem to manifest when things are going great, does it? When it's all perfect, when everything's smooth sailing, it seems like that's the time that we are okay with where we're at, like you said.
We coast.
Yeah, we, I need God a little bit here and, need some things, so I want to... But it's when... It's very difficult and it's trying that we tend to look the deepest into the things of God for help. Mm-hmm. But it's also at that time that the transformation into the character and nature of God can be the most significant. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
So what am I saying? I'm saying that before you knew him, he knew you. But he didn't just know you, he was in you. And actually, you were in him, you lived, you moved, and you had your being in him. I don't think you can have any more of an existence, can you? To live, to literally move from place to place, and then having an existence in him. And so when we come to Christ, when we trust, as it said up above, and believe in what Christ has done for us, then the Holy Spirit is activated, I believe, in our lives in a significant way. And that sealing process happens. You're all good. That sealing process happens. That we then start to walk and move and have our being in understanding that that's what we're doing instead of in ignorance.
Yeah.
And that's what Paul's saying. In ignorance, you've been worshiping this God. Now, let me tell you, you don't have to do it in ignorance anymore.
Right.
Jesus, who came from the heavenlies and was God, died so that you might be able to know him.
Yeah.
In ignorance. Called to another land. Yep. That's what he's doing. He's calling us to another land. But the land is inside of us. It's just another location. I always thought, you know, when it says that I was translated out of the kingdom of darkness, I always thought that's like, that was all my sin and everything that I had been doing. But what it was a lack of his light. And where was I translated to? The son of his love. I was translated to the revelation that I was loved by God. And his son was given so that I could know that love.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
All right. Any more questions?
She
likes it. Thank you, she says, right?
You're welcome to pass her off.
It's all good. You know, I've actually been saying, I said, you know, what did Jesus do when he had 5,000 men and their families were there? It must have been a little chaotic, but you know what? The thing is that we think everything has to be so prim and proper and everything in such perfect order that when something like that's happened, people like freak out. But just stay in the spirit. Just say, Lord, I'm going to continue to receive. I'm not going to let that bother me. Now, some of you may get like distracted. Well, if you do, just start reading your word or something, but it's all good. Amen. Father, we thank you for this time together. And Lord, I pray that as we sang that song, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in our lives. Welcome to have the room that you need to do what you want to do. Welcome to challenge us. Welcome to encourage us. Lord, you're welcome to let your glory be manifested in our lives. Lord, I pray that we would continue to be drawn closer to who you are and know you in your fullness. Don't know what that was. Know you in your fullness. And pray, Lord, that you would just allow us, God, to be able to experience who we are in you. That we do live and move and have our being. Not in ignorance do we want to exist that way, Lord. We want to exist that way in full knowledge, Lord, that you are our source. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know what that was. Somebody's messing with the technology there. It was closed. I mean, it just went off. Oh, it was music? Oh, you know what? I was connected to the deal trying to get that picture. Hey, guys, hang on for a second. You guys want to see that picture? It's amazing. Okay, I'm going to go grab it, and then I'll put it up on the screen.